This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
1 o'clock hour here on a Tuesday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. And don't forget, if you're trying to figure out maybe what you should do a little bit later on for dinner, thinking about your dinner plans, don't forget Summit Grill, our Taco Tuesday partner on Cody and Gold. You can head over to one of their three area locations, any of them, for $2.50 tacos. They'll start up at 3 o'clock. So 2 hours from now, you can enjoy some tacos. Taco Tuesday.
I'm going to be taking a nap.
Yeah, you should. With a little rush to urgent care or ER or whatever for your son. Everything's good, though, it sounds like.
It was like almost 2 in the morning at this time. We're getting close to leaving, waiting for the doctor to come back and give us the final, like, hey, here's the things you need to do, whatever. And he was like, hospitals are a lot of fun.
Well, at least he's not fearful of them, you know? I guess that's the one way to look at it.
You know what? Yeah. Take the positive. Dude, he had everybody working for him, essentially showing him his own x-rays, talking about parts of the heart. He was telling him about his summer plans.
He's fine now, though?
Okay at the moment. We'll do a follow-up appointment. He seems
text
to be lines, doing a lot better.
Text line's convinced that, you know what? They're like saying the same thing. They think, maybe he was just, constipated.
They did not say that was the problem, though, unfortunately. Oh. And he had gone to the bathroom early that day. So, I don't know.
Your trip to the hospital planted the seed for him to become a doctor. I'm not.
You think this is it? Wow. He was already a science kid. The other day, I came home, and he'd been playing Minecraft. He's like, look what I built in Minecraft. I'm not kidding. He's like, it's a bone body. And it was all these bones connected in there. And he put a heart in there with the two different veins going in. Like,
wow.
And he's like, and this is the spine. And I was like, what's going on? Either he's going to be a doctor or why are you so obsessed with the human anatomy already? Concerning, you know? Take it one of two ways. For now, we'll just say it's a math and science thing. He did seem to enjoy the x-ray, I think, was his favorite part, you know? X-rays are kind of cool, though, right? We can all admit that. X-rays are kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Interesting part of, the human body part of, like, oh, look. If somebody offered you a free x-ray on your arm right now, would you take a look at it to see what the inside looks like?
Yeah.
That's the point. That's why we are here. Mm-hmm. If somebody came in and gave us on-spot x-rays, we'd all take a look, you know? Not when you're hurt. It's not as much fun. The SEC, we talked about them last week. We kind of gotten into a little bit before I thought Greg Sankey got into the mess a little bit. I don't want to just like harbor on this forever, but like I don't understand
the SEC commissioner.
Why the SEC commissioner Greg Sankey and why the SEC in general doesn't think the health of the entire sport is what has led the SEC to being able to print money over the last couple of years. And for some reason, they have decided to either in the future go alone, which is what it seems like they'd like to do, or Greg Sankey would just like everyone to kiss the ring, bow to him, and not make him the bad guy at the same time. It can't be both. You are either the bad guy and be the villain, be the Joker, and take all the stuff like Roger Goodell is and soak in booze and just accept that you're the bad guy, only worried about the SEC, or do what's good for the sport outside of it. And like Drew and I were even talking in the break a little bit because all of this started because of a 2024 Alabama team that won 9 games. And their coach today was complaining about, I wish they'd played our schedule. Why does the SEC, I guess, why does college football pretend like there aren't already built-in advantages that make you great? Like, you're the SEC. You already get more television revenue because you're better, admittedly. But because you've done that, you get more dollars, more recruits, more things. Like, it's already an imbalanced system. Just accept the imbalance that has come your way. And if you only get 9 wins, sorry, you don't get to be a college football playoff team this year. It's not that big a deal. They're burning the whole, they're trying to burn the whole system down.
Yeah, look,
over one mediocre Alabama team.
I don't disagree for a large part of where college football has gotten and why it's got to this place and how at times it has been very bad for the sport. But if you are an SEC school or if you're the SEC commissioner, his job is to continue to put the SEC in the best position possible. Unfortunately, they haven't cared if that has impacted others, as in other conferences, because his job is to protect the SEC and bring in the most money. And by that account, he has been doing a hell of a job as the commissioner of the SEC. Now, in terms of him being upset that he's being criticized, well, then, I don't know what to tell him on that. Like, yeah, you're going to face criticism. That's just how this goes. But the moves he has made have been for the sake of his own conference. Selfish, sure. Reality, also true, right? That's kind of where I'm at on where things are at. And this is someone, and like most of us in this area initially, now I know Missouri fans are SEC
right,
people,
Missouri
but yeah. You know, I grew up as a Big 12 fan, and as most of us all did, right, at one point in time, or even prior to the Big 12 days, right? And
yeah,
so, we all recognize that, and these changes over the years have hurt the Big 12. There's many, many conversations we have had either on this show or long before we started the show, where by now a lot of people thought the Big 12 wouldn't even exist. The fact
it's
almost still,
died a couple times.
The fact that it's where it's at and has actually stabilized itself is kind of impressive. But it is still worlds apart financially from the SEC. Look at the
they still got you in the guillotine, threatening your death every day. Like Sankey said yesterday, I don't know, we're in the NCAA. You know, people tell me they keep saying.
Yeah. And look, the issue is the schools initially that left obviously opened the door for all this. But now any school that leaves a conference for the Big Ten SEC, I get it at this point, because you have to, like you said this, if you're Missouri now, while I disagree with your decision at the time, because I don't think we were there yet where you had to do it. But now where they're at, they don't have to worry every couple of years if they're going to get being a conference that is no longer around. KU and K-State still have to worry about that financially, have to worry about meeting certain commitments to do it. I mean, look at even the NCAA baseball tournament that just got announced, the bracket. Not a single Big 12 team is hosting a regional. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. This is just one very small example, obviously, of things that have happened in recent memory.
No, it all comes back to the same thing, which is I understand his loyalty is to the conference. But none of this works if you kill the sport. And I'm not saying, like, it's not an overnight thing. It takes time. It takes time to ruin a sport. But I think the SEC and Big Ten, especially the SEC, genuinely believe they could just cut ties with everyone else, be 40 teams, and survive. And I think they're dead wrong. Because you eliminate gold, you and I are done. Like, you're a Kansas fan, and like, I'll watch, but like, you're done. You're out of the game. You are not going to care about Alabama, Oregon nearly as much if they just extricate themselves from the rest of this. I also don't think that they're thinking about what the NCAA is going through right now. As it sits right now, the NCAA is mired in a billion different lawsuits from a million different people trying to figure out how their organization has essentially been able to operate not like a monopolized entity that it is. They allow them antitrust exemptions that other sports have been given. If you try to go it alone, they're going to come down on your ass. They're not going to let you just abandon 50 teams in 50 different markets to do your own Super League because you feel like it. They're not going to let you operate that way. You're going to have a huge headache on your hand. And I guess the part is, are you just, you're cowards? That's what it really comes down to. Are you cowards, SEC and Big Ten? You're too afraid. You're too afraid to just win football games to get into the tournament. You're too afraid to just win.
They're just greedy because they're greedy because they know with the money they have now inherited and the teams that make up and the TV markets that make up their conferences, they are in a position of power and they are going to milk this thing out as long as possible. And when they expand from 12 to 14 or 16 here in the next couple of years, they obviously want, as we know, certain qualifiers. So it's not even scared. They just want a guaranteed piece of the pie and they want to have a better chance of their schools getting into a national title game. And like on the surface, it sounds like, oh yeah, it makes sense. The problem is it's been working in this direction for a very long time. Where I'll agree with you fully is that if we ever had a true separation, even if it's kind of happening already before our eyes, a true separation when the SEC and Big Ten are playing for their own national title, and then there's everybody else playing for a quote unquote lesser national title, that's when the sport obviously falls apart. So we'll see.
I think that's what the SEC actually wants. or to cave to all of their demands. Again, they're holding you in the guillotine. And they're saying, I can either chop your head off, or you can agree to be a lesser citizen under a million other cases. Like, agree to all my demands, or I'm killing you. That's it. That's the only choice.
You know why they're doing it, though, right? Is because they're the ones in charge.
Yep.
Like, they're also, like, Gold is right in the fact that they're looking out for themselves, as they technically should be, but...
No, but it's got to be both. You can't just look out for yourself. You should care about other people.
I think it's the obligation of Tony Petitti, who's the Big Ten commissioner, and Greg Sankey to look out for what's best to the sport because they are the ones in charge. But they're ultimately going to side with themselves, which is the way that it just is. But the problem started was when they got in charge and they were able to make the main decisions, and everybody else had to either agree or, you know, there wasn't a true agreement in how things are going, because it's always going to be the SEC and the Big Ten on top. It was interesting. So Kirby Smart also, as they're having the spring meetings in Destin for the SEC, was asked about it. And Kirby was like, well, you know, college basketball, we had RPI and there were 13 of 16 teams that make it from our conference in the tournament. No, nobody was complaining about that, to which I would say one.
The 14th team probably was, I guess.
To which I would say there's also 37 at-large bids in the NCAA tournament. There's only seven in college football. And if you were to go off if you did the BCS rankings, because somebody goes through and they do this. If you did the BCS rankings last season, there's only one switch. Boise State is still in, SMU is still in, Indiana is still in. Clemson is out, Alabama's in. Other than the same. One. Other than that, the 12 is the exact same with a RPI, quote unquote, computer based system. So it's really not that much different than what we saw last year. If we go off of just the BCS alone, they're trying to play victim in a system where they're the ones who are getting everything handed to them more than anybody else.
But how long? If you give them this, just dead serious, and I'm not even trying to be hype. Like, if you give them this, how long until they ask what Drew just said? Oh, by the way, we'd also like guaranteed spots in the NCAA tournament. We're the big dog. We control football, so we'd also like to control
the conferences
basketball.
Should all split away from the NCAA tournament. They can run it themselves. They don't need that's a whole other topic we've had on the show before. The NCAA...
Because college basketball actually has their own committee.
Yeah, it's different. It's not... I know you know this, but a reminder...
They're just saying, we'll just demand that. We'll do our own tournament, and we'd like 10 spots.
Like, I know you know this, but the college football playoff is not operated by the NCAA. For those that... most people know, but
it's
for those
individual,
that... Versus the NCAA tournament is an NCAA... truly an NCAA event. They run it. They're basically an event company in that. Yeah, every other one. But that's why
they don't need the NCAA tournament. They start doing themselves. When is it that when they do that, they're going to ask for guaranteed spots for the SEC and the Big Ten, and they're going to ask for more than the ACC and the Big 12 get.
They could
and
for basketball. They're not in the same position of power for basketball, but yes. I mean, some of this is, there are always, I'm not disagreeing that there aren't consequences. Some of this is like, this is, when everybody was somehow accepting those in power 15 plus years ago, that it was going to be all about TV ratings and dollar signs, right? Thank you, Mark Mangino. Then we obviously got to a point where what you're describing and for the good of the sport stuff, that all went by the wayside a long time ago, man.
Otherwise, we'd still have regional rivalries in the sport, right?
We'll see. That's the biggest thing with the SEC. I think that's the most annoying is complaining about how the conference is too hard, but you're stealing away the best teams from other conferences that are already very good. You're making your conference more difficult. So as a result, it's going to be harder for your teams to win games. And in a system that is supposed to have conference championships that matter and is including everybody still at this moment, if you go 9-3, you're going to not make it. In particular, if you go back and you look at the losses that Boise State had and SMU had and Indiana had, all three of them, they probably weren't that much better than Alabama. However, if you play the games and you look at the schedule, SMU, Boise State, and Indiana had losses that were not as bad as Alabama's loss to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
As a result, those three made it into the playoff, and Alabama didn't. And the only reason Alabama didn't make it is really because Clemson beat SMU in the ACC title game. That is the only thing that changed based on the top 12 in that final week of the season.
Yeah, this is all stuff that's been in the works for a while, and it's going to be another 5 to 10 years before we see any huge, huge shift. The next big thing will be in about 2 years when, or another year and a half, I guess, when we see expansion of the college football playoff. continue. And someone said, hey, why don't they just not schedule SEC teams? Problem again, it goes back to the money. If you are in a smaller conference, you might get a $500,000 payday to go play at Alabama. You can't pass. This is where you're at. And it's how expensive college athletics
have
gotten.
That's why Akron is so happy to get their ass kicked 63-0 by Ohio State, because they get a fat paycheck at the end of the day.
That's right.
Speaking of football, I did see Bill Barnwell was talking a little bit about a guy we've talked about on the show before. Bill Barnwell, who works over at ESPN, was working on a solution for the 2028 Olympic flag football thing we've been talking about. And our guy, Daryl Doucette III, was out grandstanding a little bit again and said, quote, they don't need NFL players, and the current players deserve their opportunity to compete for the gold medal. Second part of that, I kind of get his point. We have
been
national competitors for flag football this entire time. I'm not saying they don't deserve an opportunity to be on the team, but how do you create that opportunity? Bill Barnwell both solved this problem and the Pro Bowl at the same time. USA NFL players versus U.S. national flag football team right now.
Perfect.
Pro Bowl
Let's
weekend.
Go.
Perfect. Bring it on.
Perfect.
If you guys don't think you need NFL players, you think you're so much better than the sport at us, give us a couple weeks practice at it. Throw us in a Pro Bowl game against each other, and let's see if what you're saying is true. Let's see if Lamar
the winner gets to go to the Olympics, is what you're saying.
I'm saying yes. Or at the very least.
Or just a tryout, and everybody can have a pretty good idea.
It's a
about
tryout, and if Doucette dominates against the defense, then we can have a conversation. But if Lamar, if they score 63-0, none of y'all are in. We're done here.
And look,
it was nice meeting you.
I think I'm sure there's a few players that are playing that and that are, you would want. I'll be honest, I don't think the USA flag football Olympic team in 2026, or 2028, I'm sorry, out in L.A., I don't think that team needs to only have NFL players. I think there will be one or two guys that have played flag football and know the sport. Because remember, you're also playing playing offense and defense too. So you know there's going to be some.
There's roster sizes for this that you don't necessarily have to play both, because it's 12 man rosters. You could play just 5-5.
I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I don't believe your quarterback is not going to be an NFL quarterback. And that's what this guy's all worried about, because he knows he's not beating out an NFL quarterback. He can maybe be a different position.
He's still working on his duties.
You're not beating out an NFL quarterback. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen,
Daniels,
whoever, right? Like you're not beating out the NFL quarterback. Sorry.
I would love to, imagine if it actually does happen, though, where they play the game, and Daryl Doucette, as I hear, is just throwing dots, and he actually plays better than an NFL quarterback.
Throw,
what happens?
And I've watched him throw.
Oh, I know.
A competitive U.S. national. I'm just telling you right now. Trent McDuffie would be standing in front of that ball.
I mean, listen to him.
He wouldn't even have to be in a break. Yeah.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
You probably know the rules, but you're telling me Patrick Mahomes, he's got 2 years. You're telling me Patrick Mahomes is not going to work his ass off to make sure he understands the game of flag football?
It's not that much different in the rules, except instead of tackling, you pull someone's flag.
I'm better than Patrick Mahomes.
That man studies complex NFL defenses. Mm. I'm not even saying there aren't good athletes. They're definitely good athletes.
Now, you would agree, though, if you were him from just a personal standpoint.
It sucks because you spent your life doing this.
And now you're going to have your opportunity taken away from you. I totally get that.
Here's the thing. You're not better. Like that's just the way the Olympics work. The Olympics are for the greatest athletes on the planet at the sport in which they're being asked to compete in. If you aren't that, they're not robbing you of your opportunity. You're not good enough. And it's okay to not be good enough to be an Olympic-level athlete. Most of us aren't. Like, 99.9% of society aren't. But just put them up against each other. Dude, I'd watch that. I haven't watched a Pro Bowl in 20 years. At least 20. The high school.
Yeah, someone brought up a good point, though.
If you put that game on, I'm in.
Someone brought up a good point, though. The problem with doing it at the Pro Bowl, you won't have the best players available for that.
No, but if we get close
the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, Mahomes not available. If another team's in the Super Bowl, they're not.
Wasn't Mac Jones a Pro Bowler last year or something?
If you go off of last year, though, I think Lamar Jackson is the perfect quarterback to take for flag football.
So do I.
Lamar Jackson would be available. Justin Jefferson was available. Jamar Chase was available. I mean, your team, we even talked about it. How many Chiefs do you think are actually on the roster?
Well, you can only have one. So,
I mean, one.
Yeah, you can only have one.
I assume they'll have one.
You can only have one, but also remember, this isn't until 2028, so some of these guys are going to be older. I mean, even someone on the text line pointed out, this Doucette guy that's talking, he's going to be 39 by the time the Olympics.
You're telling me 33-year-old Pat Mahomes might not be.
Yeah, so that's the other thing with all this. Like, Mahomes may not be the best available option in 2 years for flag football before everybody freaks out, not talking about for the NFL. For flag football, it might be. Heck, it could be some guy that's not even in the NFL yet. We have no idea.
How is this going to work out, though, with the NFL? Because the Olympics are obviously in July and August.
We don't know the exact setup. We're talking,
you're missing training camp to play flag football.
That's why it's one player per team.
I mean,
that's why it's one player per team. Because
I still don't think it should be limited to that, but that's
well, there's
fine.
Only 12 on the field. There'll be some reserves. So we're talking about probably 15.
Every team's not going to have one anyway, yeah.
There'll be 15 to 20 max players that are actually missing training camp in the entire league. They'll be okay.
I think it'll be more than that because I'm still convinced there'll be a dual citizenship angle for somebody.
Maybe. Okay.
And there'll be players whose parents grew up in a different country or whatever. There'll be a couple of other.
For sure.
I think it'll be more like 40 NFL players, but it's not as many as they're making it out to be. And every other sport does this. And if the NFL is serious, and I know that they are, about growing the game internationally, well, then you have to do this. You don't have a choice. You have to.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
I guess the maximum would be 32, could be 40.
Yeah, how the roster restrictions go and how truly is there a tryout, a qualify? How does it actually get determined who is making this darn team?
I don't think a Ryder Cup, we just choose?
I don't think they would, but the U.S. better not lose.
Oh, for
they
sure.
Better
oh,
not,
that would be embarrassing.
They better
no, you
not
have to.
Lose.
They have to win gold.
That's
for sure.
That's worse than I would
It'd
argue.
Worse than basketball. 100%.
Yes.
100%.
Way worse.
There's not
this
the
is
same
our
international.
Sport.
So much worse.
It's our sport, but also there's not the same. Like there's high level international basketball. High level.
Very high level.
There's not high
basketball.
Level football. Heck, there's two other leagues. Take college football out of it. There's these random spring leagues that suck that are being played in the United States.
And
you think
the
they're going to find something
league.
Randomly? Yeah, the Canadian Football League is higher level than this USFL crap that's going on or whatever it's called right now, where that league, their TV ratings stink right now. Too.
I can't wait for that future flag football guy who's the 13th guy on Team USA makes a catch being some camp darling. You know, the guy who's in the CFL, who made the USA team,
that's
who scores a couple of touchdowns.
This would be Ellerzy's time to shine. He's
going to be on
the
Wales team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. He's going to have to teach everyone else how to play the game.
Although, so again, wins, yeah, okay. All right.
I like that he would just
Do
be
we know when they
going
have
from the
to
opposite
make a decision
of his original
on this?
Sport. Maximum contact in rugby to flag football. Someone says rugby's running back.
Someone says, why do we need NFL players to go against Sweden in the Olympics? Let the flag football guys win. Because I don't want to watch guys I have no clue who the hell they are. And the NFL wants it for branding. But also, would you rather watch Lamar Jackson play flag football or people you have no clue
for
who
the
they
same
are?
Reason I didn't want to watch college the best, guys in basketball.
If they're the best in the world. No, by the way, if we talk about figure skating, we don't say, like, we know we have better people that can do it, but we don't want to send them to the Olympics. We don't do that for any other. We don't say we have a great we don't have a great USA basketball team from NBA
we
guys.
Did for
but
a while. We just send a bunch of, like, random college
but
kids.
We're just going to do that and say, I understand for baseball they do it. That's why I don't watch the baseball in the Olympics because it sucks.
Yeah, but in fairness, you guys, just as well as I can, we're not naming figure skaters right now, so we don't know who they are anyways, and we're still watching.
My point is we send the best to represent our country in the Olympics. Yeah, why would we send the best in football? The best
has to be
NFL players. If maybe one or two. You can't tell me there's a roster of 12 flag football guys that are better than all 12 NFL potential options.
I don't think there's a single player in the entire USA flag football team who's better than any NFL player who would try out. I think they would immediately be better. I mean,
there might be somebody who's better picking flags than anybody else. I don't know.
But the agility.
It's also just great for the NFL for branding, but yeah.
Like, we're pretending like, I mean, they talk about these rules like it's learning, like it's a cipher code or something.
It's not the rules.
There's no way it can be that hard to learn how to grab a flag. These guys do little tennis ball. They like catch marbles and stuff at training camp the entire time. Now they can't get a flag. They do nothing but agility and eye test and training. That's their whole life. Doucette probably works at like Lowe's on the weekend.
Shout out Lowe's.
He doesn't do it all. He doesn't just do it every second of every day. It's crazy.
I'm just saying.
We're not acting like we're asking NFL players to go and play soccer and represent the country. Then I would understand how crazy that would be. They're playing the same sport, even if it's a different rule alteration. These guys are the best in the world. I don't think they're going to be incapable of learning how to play flag football. That's all. We'll find out.
Up next, let's get to what's trending. Let's talk a little bit more about what the Royals are trying to do with a familiar face on the bump again.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's them tonight.
What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold's presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals dropped game one of their series against the Reds yesterday. Tonight, they're back at it, 6:40 first pitch right here on 96.5. The Fan. Vern's on deck show is at 5:30. Brady Singer, former Royal, on the bump for the Reds. The Royals will send out Daniel Lynch, what's expected to be a bullpen game. We're going to talk more about Brady Singer, what he's been able to do for the Reds, and obviously Jonathan India. But tonight also, I believe, is the Pasquatch necklace giveaway. I think that's tonight.
Third time. He's been playing great.
Yeah, you get yourself a little Pasquatch necklace.
You just made a real goal? I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
God, that would be the greatest giveaway. I'd be in line tonight. Uh-huh. Are you kidding?
Uh-huh.
A real gold necklace? Gold's a lot. Yeah. Expensive. Next up on What's Trending, OTA starting around the NFL today, the Chiefs included. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are expected to talk later in the week as they get underway. Mostly what this time is who's there and who's not there. So far, no early surprises of who's not there for Kansas City. Biggest one probably in the league is that the Steelers, who never say, they got a company policy on not saying who. Aaron Rodgers probably isn't there, but also Kirk Cousins skipped showing up to the Falcons OTAs today. Not totally a surprise, I assume, for him. I'd show up a little bit later if I were him, too. He's not the starter gold. He's still hoping Aaron Rodgers decides to change his mind and not show up in Pittsburgh.
Could be. That would be a possible destination for him. That's for sure. Elsewhere in What's Trending, NBA postseason continues. The Thunder now have a 3-1 series lead over the Timberwolves. Also, the Knicks-Pacers. Game 4 is tonight. Pacers this time around blew a lead. The trend right now in this series is like, if you feel third quarter or even late in the fourth, if your team has a big lead and you really want to send out that tweet that says, you know, this one's over, usually that's going to backfire. That's going to backfire on you the way the series has gone. I thought the Knicks were cooked.
midway through the third quarter two nights ago or whatever that was, and they ended up coming back and winning. I still think the Pacers win the series, but we have to admit, if the Knicks win this one and it's 2-2 going back to the Garden, then obviously everything is on the Knicks' side. Although I will say, as much as we talk about Madison Square Garden, you know the Knicks are 3-5 this postseason at home?
It's weird. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Again, it's like the Garden has never been like, because the Knicks have mostly not been good during my time. You know, it always just feels a little bit weird. Next up on What's Trending, both Kansas State and KU are both in the regionals for the College Baseball World Series. Obviously, that doesn't mean they're in Omaha yet.
Yeah.
They have a chance to earn a spot in Omaha as the way it's heading there. Kansas State will head to Austin for their regional. Kansas will head to Fayetteville for their regional. They'll take on Creighton in the first round. And if they're lucky enough to get past there, we'll have to take on the perennial powerhouse, Arkansas Razorbacks, who do, I will say, in fairness, have a bit of a history of blowing it in the regional part of the category. So you know, maybe that'd be good for Kansas. I like the Omahawks versus the Omahawks. Everybody trying to figure out a way to make their name works that way.
Omahawks, if they can get there.
Omahawks on
if they can get there, man. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. I just saw the media relations director and the voice of the Omaha Storm Chasers, Nicholas Batters, post a video of the media that are all up in Omaha.
Good scrum?
First time. Yeah, good media scrum. Cags talking to the media in Omaha for the first time. And I think, looks like, is that maybe a Kansas City media member or two that drove up there? I don't know. Definitely a lot. Yeah, I see a couple people I recognize as well going up there for Cags.
On the back of their head. I can't tell.
Yeah, there's a few people I recognize. There's Cags's Omaha debut. Not his AAA debut, but his Omaha debut at Warner Park. And I know some of you have texted heading up there this weekend. That's the plan for me as well.
Do you know this guy's in the maroon shirt? Because he looks very unhappy to be here.
I do not.
Do you see his face?
I don't know. He might be with the Omaha World Herald. That's
my guess.
Look how
displeased, Gold. Look how displeased he looks to be there.
Yes.
He's making quite a sour face. I don't blame him for making the drive up. We made the drive down not that long ago, and you're going to Omaha this weekend.
Yes. Yes. Looking forward to that.
You and Dusty Likens are going to go up and watch some Cags, right?
That's right. That's the plan, man. We're going to head up there. We got the accommodations figured out as well for the weekend. So it should be a good time. The weather's going to be great up in Omaha.
If you got called up on Friday, can you cancel the hotel, Airbnb?
No, I'm going to Omaha no matter what.
Not? You're going to Omaha no matter what. You're saying.
Well, not if his debut is Friday night.
Debut is Friday night.
No,
you're not going to Omaha,
then I'll go his debut, and then I guess we'll go to Omaha Saturday. I don't know. The hotel is. So we booked our hotel rooms literally this weekend. So I'm not worried about him getting called up on Friday, so I think we're good.
I don't think that's going to be the case, although, again, I think the timeline's moved up. I just don't think it's moved up to this
Friday. I think so. Yeah, I think it's been moved up, as we talked about. But I'll be looking forward to heading up to Omaha this weekend.
Batter shouldn't get too comfortable watching Jack Kegley.
I guess
that's the point I'm making.
I don't think so.
You might only get a couple of weeks.
Tonight, you know? Brady Singer, though, he's back on the bump for the Reds, which I'm sure will be a very weird moment for him, going up against a lot of his former teammates. On the flip side, Jonathan India going up against his old team. He already played his old team last night. He, of course, as we know, as a leadoff hitter for this team, as if you couple with defense, has been a little disappointing, to say the least. I still think if you asked me to make the trade again, I would make it. I really would. And this is not just because, like, oh my gosh, they couldn't do no wrong. No, look, think about it. Brady Singer is having an okay season for the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even about what he would have been. It's the fact that you traded away Brady Singer. Your pitching staff, thanks to Chris Bubich in particular,
has actually been better.
So yeah,
and not because of the absence of Singer,
but you haven't had a drop off. If you would have had a trade away Brady Singer to the Reds, and your pitching staff would have really fallen off, and you were getting what you're getting from Jonathan India, well then it's a disastrous trade. But your pitching is better, so now we're just talking about what are you getting offensively, in my opinion, from India. And he is slightly below where he's been as a career hitter. And you have not gotten what you thought you were getting fully. And so, yeah, that part of it is disappointing. But, man, I'll tell you, I for those like saying they would take back the trade, so tell me what you would have done this. So you would have held on to Brady Singer.
And just try to pitch your way out of an already bad offense?
Chris Bubich would have been in the bullpen for you.
I guess Lorenzen would just not be around.
You just wouldn't have signed Lorenzen back to
Lorenzen
the team. Okay. Well, Lorenzen, you just wouldn't have re-signed him. So
Lorenzen
wouldn't have been re-signed. So you would have had Bubich and Singer in the rotation. Who would have been leading off? And hindsight's hindsight's a hell of a thing. Because if you would have said Mikel.
But then you only go three deep in the lineup.
You would not have. Here's the thing, though. If we're being honest, none of you on February 1st would have said you were good with Mikel Garcia leading off. None of you. Now I get why you're saying that. Nobody would have said that because we saw it for 107 games last year. It's why you wanted them to go out and get a new leadoff hitter. Now, if you want to argue they should have traded for an outfielder, I'll totally listen to that. Obviously, we all know where that's at. And that's not even hindsight 2020. That was a recognizable
issue. No, they might have got some bullets of players they were really interested in, like Santander.
But I still would have done the trade. And I'm also not convinced that we've seen the end product of what the trade's going to be for Jonathan India. It's there's still a chance that by the time we get to the end of the season, your feeling is a little bit different about him.
No, I wouldn't go back and do it. It's fine. Has Jonathan India performed to the level he is capable of or just what his career averages are? No. Mm-hmm. Is he like so far off of that you think it's just shot with no hope? Also, no. As you've pointed out, the biggest concern with him is that he has been not unplayable in the field, but it's been kind of a tough defensive watch. And so if just that alone can improve, I think that's why Michael Massey continues to get a lot of time, even though his hitting has not even been equal to that of Jonathan India's. They need Jonathan India to hit for this offense to fix, and they cannot fix the offense with one guy. Jonathan India can't just start hitting, and then they'll be fine. Because we said if that was the case, well, then they'd be fine now. Vinny Pasquantino's hitting .350 in May. He's been tremendous. He's been one of the best hitters in baseball in May over the last 30, 40 games. So, like, forget the April start. Vinny's back. And Mikel's hit pretty much this entire time. And Bobby is in a little bit of a slight cold stretch, which I'm in no way worried about. But, like, Salvador Perez and India are still the ones. If you're going to, like, scrape by offensively, because that's really what it comes down to. And the reason why, Gold, I think they made all these moves, why Lofton and Rave, and why a couple, like a month back, Waters, is that they understand now that the position they put themselves before the season wasn't going to work. And they know that they can't trade for a player yet because that's not really how it works. And they're trying not to call Jack Caglione up yet, even though he will be a part of the solution here very soon, I think, in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And I see like Matt Foster over KCTV5, KSHB, it's announced that they had, you know, like Bobby Witt and Vinny Pasquantino had already reached out to him when he had reached AAA to congratulate him on getting to that, you know, getting to that level. So like, I think they understand as leaders of the team. I bet they don't do that for every guy who gets called to AAA. I bet that they save those calls for the ones that are a big part or a future plan the major league roster.
Everybody knows that, eventually he's going to be part of the equation. And they knew that in spring training, and they knew that a long time ago.
But they have to just bide their time until then. And unfortunately, India just getting on base a little bit more would help them bide their time. Every game is 1-1 in the sixth, man. Every single Royals game is it's 1-1 in the sixth, and they won't today.
They're very similar. Yeah, the texter earlier in the show mentioned the defensive numbers. We asked him like the metric on that. Jonathan India, -9 in runs prevented, which is dead last in
that's
particular.
Above average, and -9 in runs prevented.
Yeah, has not been pretty. Remember, the original plan was he's going to play third base basically all year, mix in some left field
which
and all that.
I thought
that
was his more natural position.
Mix in left field.
He played a lot in college, but.
Well, it was weird. Based on report, we had Ryan Lefevre on the show. We had Vern on the show during spring training, and both of them, everybody said he looked really good at third base in spring training. So spring training's not regular season baseball. More confirmation on that.
Yeah. It's just I don't know. I still think India can work. I still think the plan was a good one. It's not working right now. Look, their outfield plan was not a good one. I would have not argued that. You and I didn't argue that going into the season, Gold. There's a difference. You and I both walked into the season and be like, well, I think we know what the biggest problem is. It's left and right field. Corner outfield is just banking on a prayer at this point, and that turned out to be the case. They have sent down a left fielder to AAA. They have sent down now a different outfielder who they were rotating in Kevin Biggio to AAA, and they have cut Hunter Renfroe. So the corner outfield plan has just struck out. The infield plan is still on track to have a chance to work. It has not been an utter failure with Jonathan India. And I do think that part of this equation for Brady Singer, who will pitch tonight, is Singer's not been a dominant force who figured it all out, who went to another place. He's been fine. He's pitching in a much worse park than the one he's used to. Yeah. As a result of that, he's probably struggling a little bit because he got an ERA near 4. Now, his FIP or any of the other ones would say he's a better pitcher than that. Generally speaking, his ERA should be a little bit lower. But he's not been, like, out of the world tough. Do you think, is he going to shove tonight?
I think one of two things is happening.
Are we thinking 7 shutout innings, 8 strikeouts for Singer tonight? Or are we thinking he gets lit up through 2-3 innings and the Royals kind of pile on him?
It's just going one of two ways tonight. Brady Singer is either having a no-no going into the 6th or 7th inning tonight, or Jonathan India is hitting a home run or two tonight. It's a either way. There's no middle ground here. Brady
he's
Singer
either dealing the whole
Brady
night.
Brady Singer is either pitching well into the seventh and eighth with a no-no, or Jonathan Indy has got two home runs off him. That's what we're seeing tonight. Yep, that's okay. What we're seeing.
Okay.
In fact, should make a bet on it.
Which one? Both.
Both.
What can I get on a Jonathan Indy home run? How many does he have this year? Like
one.
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 Well, that should be getting pretty good odds then, I would think. Could be wrong. I know some of the apps have been offering a, you know, free, you know, like a free bet, or at least a no sweat bet, you know, on a home run. So maybe I could, you know, maybe take a chance. Take a chance on Jonathan India. Let's see.
I got a bonus bet from
plus
BetMGM
850
the
for other one
day.
Home run.
Plus 850 for one home run. For two? Plus 11,000.
Mm-hmm.
You guys want to put $5 to show fund?
What about a no-no for Brady Singer tonight?
Hey, if you guys want to put $10 to the show fund, we could win $1,100.
Let's go.
On two plus. Well, you know, we could just do $5. You know, win $500. If Jonathan India hits two.
You're not going to let me bet a no-no? Doesn't look like it.
Really?
No.
Why not?
I don't know why. They're worried it's going to happen. That's why.
I got an email about a bonus bet from BetMGM over the weekend. I found out it's the Indiana BetMGM, so I can't use it here in Kansas. It doesn't switch
gotcha.
Over, I guess.
Wait, they're two different. They've merged the accounts, but yeah.
It's allowed. Let's see.
If I was in Indiana, I could get a $10 bonus bet.
I can only get them to only 3 years.
Yeah. Give me the note. Maybe I gotta wait till closer to first pitch, you know?
Yeah. Can't get a lot of data.
What if you do specific?
Let's
get let's go specific. Batter props first at bat. Hold on. Well, let me do a first at bat. One of the apps will. Not I don't think I can find it on here. I was gonna say first at bat home run. What does that pay out?
Oh, now you wanna know like if Jonathan India just lead off homer
right away.
Probably plus 700 or something.
Someone says, I will donate $1,000 to the show fund. If India hits two home runs tonight, they'll donate. I'm, by the way,
just give it to me. I don't even have to make the bet.
Sir, I am taking a photo of your text and phone number. If he does that, we will be calling you right at the beginning of the show tomorrow.
Plus 1,800. Yeah. First plate appearance home run for Jonathan India.
I'm just
10 to win 190.
Sir, from the 816 that has his phone number in 595, I will be calling you to start the show tomorrow. If in fact that happens,
to get you on the horn for that $1,000.
We'll go ahead and get that. You can go ahead and just get that taken care of. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So right to Cody Dash Tap. We'll just take that cash right up front.
That one you can actually even send to Alex.
Honestly,
you
know, probably be smart to hedge his bet to bet the $10 on it. That way, it really actually does. He can pay it and not even have to worry about it. Either it only costs him $10 one way or the other. Clear $100 because it'll pay you $1,100. You know.
That's right. That's that is true.
That'd feel kind of sucky to only win $100 on Jonathan Indy to hit two home runs.
So.
When he has two. But yeah, plus 1,800 for him to get a home run and his very first at bat.
Okay.
If he, you know what though? You get plus 425, it's a strikeout. If you're just thinking one guy's getting the other gold, plus 425, Jonathan India first plate appearance strikeout, plus 1,800 home runs. So just as long as you get one of those two results.
Look, I don't like doing this because we're in Kansas City, but I must say one bet that is very, if you just think Brady Singer, seven strikeouts and the Reds win, 10 to one. You think he shoves?
I'm like betting against the Royals.
I'm just saying. I hope they rock him. I hope Jonathan India hits a leadoff home run. I hope he hits two of them tonight, and I hope they just knock him out within the first four innings. It'd be beautiful.
If he's going to hit two tonight, he's going to get that one in that leadoff.
It'd be hilarious. By the way, I will be.
We're playing this back tomorrow if that's the case.
Yeah.
Someone says if Singer gets home ballpark benefit, does India also get learning new league benefit of no doubt? It's funny because they know each other. Those two guys are really, really good friends. I mean, really, really good friends. College teammates, Singer. That's always the part of this that's so weird about professional sports that I guess I'd love to have a deeper conversation with about guys who've moved around a little bit. Not even guys who've had a chance to just like stay where they are, but like Brady Singer report. I mean, he went to JJ and for years had trade for Jonathan India. He's a winner. The guy knows what to do. He gets on base. This guy will help our baseball team. He's worth it. And eventually they do trade for him, but trade you away. Like exile you is a part of the process. And I know that it's not that way. I don't think JJ was doing it that way. I don't think it's malicious. It's just the player the Reds wanted for the player you wanted. And so like it just happened to be two college teammates who are friends getting swapped for each other. But what a weird thing. I don't know.
It feels like Brady would have more against the Royals than Jonathan India would have against the Reds, though, because of that reason.
Someone says if India hits two bombs, that'll somehow be the only offense the Royals get for the game. Oh, come on, don't be so negative.
Oh, jeez. Well, I mean, the numbers say that in Royals games, both teams combine average, the lowest average in Royals games since 1972, as in like 6.6 runs per game between the Royals.
Royals have the second best team ERA in baseball and score the third least amount of runs.
That's right.
I feel better about the team with that stat than worse. I know that stat is supposed to make me feel bad, but I think that this would be a losing team under almost any circumstance with that record. I can look at the records of the teams who are scoring less runs than them. It's bad.
The last bullpen game, they broke out offensively against the Giants, and tonight they got a bullpen game, it looks like, with Daniel Lynch against Brady Singer. We'll see what happens. The offense picked up the bullpen the last time they needed a bullpen game. We'll see if they can do it twice in a week.
Can you do me a favor? Pull up the Major League Baseball standings before we get out of here. I want to test a theory here. I want to see how many teams we have to go through runs per game below the Royals or ahead of the Royals until we get a winning team. Okay. Pittsburgh, their record?
Pittsburgh Pirates would be 19-36.
Okay, so 18 or 17 games below 500. The Rockies.
Well, 9-45.
My God. Oh, my God. The Rangers are tied for the Royals at 3.33 runs per game. They just called up their version.
Rangers
of
are 26-29.
Okay, so 3 games below 500, but closer. Mm-hmm. Chicago White Sox.
Wow. 17-37.
So miserable. Baltimore Orioles.
19-34.
These are the teams around the Royals. So on average, about 20 games below 500, it appears, is where we're at. And then finally, I think a winning team. The Blue Jays, are they a winning team?
No. 26-27.
Okay, so close. Ooh, only one game below 500. And then the Cleveland Guardians, a team I know is
29-24. Yeah.
Okay. So, and then Minnesota right above them.
29-24.
That's the other part about the Royals' inability to score is, other than the best team in baseball, or one of the best teams in baseball, the Detroit Tigers, who have one of the best team ERAs and the fourth best offense in the sport, and are, in all honesty, the best, most complete team in the American League right now, unless something happens to their team injury-wise or somebody improves themselves, they're the best team in the American League. And so they don't have the best player, that's Aaron Judge, but they are the best team.
Yeah, real quick on Judge. Can we talk about this for a second? We were looking it up. Aaron Judge is minus 8,000 to win AL MVP. It's over. The only way.
You're saying I shouldn't put a bet on Bobby.
Bobby is 30-1. Jose Ramirez is like 90-1. Gunnar Henderson is 120-1 to win the award. It is over. Aaron Judge would have to be out for the season soon for him not to win this award. It is over. It's not any fun because last year was fun talking about it. It is so over.
It's dead.
You don't have to waste your time unless there's a season-ending injury. That's it. And I don't want that to happen.
So that's all I'm banking on at this point? Yeah, I don't want to root for that. That's terrible. So I just won't bet it.
We'll watch some Royals tonight. We'll listen to Vern's On Deck show, 5:30, right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. Coming up, CDOT, Rob, right here on The Drive and 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.